Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of New Shooter Canada. This week is going to be our Maple Seed show. We've got a whole gang here to join us tonight. We've got Kevin, Mario, Sarah, Mike, who does not double load 22s, Grant, and Rick. So say hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Okay. I did that on purpose. So we are going to start off with what we did in guns, and then maybe just a quick little hello, an introduction, and then what you did in guns this week. So let's start with Kevin. Kevin, what did you do in guns?
Not a whole lot. Went to the range a couple times. We did, I did the challenge, the Squirrel's Friends Rifleman Challenge, a few of those, and that's pretty much all I did.
And who are you?
Who am I?
You've been on the show
before. I'm laughing because...
You've been on the show before, so folks should know who you are.
I'm me.
Okay. And next we have Mario. Mario, what did you do in guns, and maybe a little bit about yourself. If you guys got like websites or blogs or anything, feel free to plug them right now in your introduction. So go ahead, Mario, what did you do in guns?
Yeah, hi there. I'm Mario. I'm in Montreal. And this week in guns, unfortunately, our club here is closed for renovation, so I didn't do much. I bought a new ATI Strike Force stock for my SKS, and I posted a couple of pictures that you guys saw, so it's really nice. It took a bit of work, but it was a really nice little installation. With the Tapco removable mags as well as a little short 5-shot mags, which are nice. I'm looking forward to the club opening tomorrow so I can go get some sighting time on it and see how it works.
Excellent.
Now, the most important question is, did you send the pictures to Trevor?
Did I send the pictures to Trevor?
Yeah, from Slamfire
the
Radio.
Pictures was I supposed to send?
The SKS with the stocks.
Did I send them to Trevor?
Did you put some lipstick on them for him or something?
Yeah. We can do that for you.
Yeah. Put some lipstick on.
We'll be more than happy to.
Yes.
You were supposed to take a picture with the 1911, though, too, weren't you? With it?
Yeah, we can do that tomorrow, Mario.
Next, we have Sarah. Sarah, how are you, and what did you do in guns?
I'm doing good. This week, actually, I'm doing an IDPA match for the first time next weekend, so Mike's been helping me get ready. He created a training schedule for me, so I've been working on that. We went to the range so I could practice live fire, and this Saturday I had a cowboy action match at EOSC, so I shot that on Saturday, and that was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, when we met... You had told me that you shot SAS, and so, mm-hmm. you know, being a little ignorant, I naturally assumed Mike did as well, and he said no. So you took this on all your own and ran with it.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, that's it. It looked really cool to me, and I'm always into history, so any chance I can combine two of the passions, I jump at it.
I'm so used to all the women that I shoot with are generally paired off with a husband, so I just, you know, kind of naturally assume that. So that's great. So that's awesome. And now you're doing IDPA.
Yeah, I'm giving it a try. I've been to a few of Mike's matches and thought it looked fun, so figure I'd give it a whirl, see how it went, see if that was something else to get into.
Might like it.
Maybe.
Good for you.
And that brings us to Mike, who does not double load 22s.
Not intentionally.
No, not intentionally.
So, Mike, what did you do in guns this week?
Pretty much what Sarah said. I just helped her with her IDPA. And besides that, pretty much all I did was reload ammo for her cowboy match this weekend.
You're a good man.
he's not bad.
He's not bad. what setup do you have for reloading?
This year I just got the Hornady lock and load ammo plant press. Progressive,
eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still single staging my pistol loads for cowboy, and I've been there, done that, and more than happy to move on. So hopefully this winter I'll be buying a new press.
Yep.
All right, and now that takes us to Grant. Grant, what'd you do in guns this week?
How's it going, guys? Grant McCartney from up in Kapuskasing here. This week was pretty quiet in guns, but some stuff did happen that hopefully will lead to more things with guns in the future. Ontario Moose Tag showed up in the mail this week, so our group was successful in getting a cow tag for the fall. And I got news, an email came out from our club here, which just has a small indoor range, but news has come out that a community about an hour away looks like they'll be opening up an outdoor rifle range as soon as the fall. They've got some approvals. Well, they have some conditional approval from the CFO, and there's work to be done, but should be open by the fall.
Excellent.
That's great news. Great news. Now, that's kind of relevant for restricted, because up near you, you take one step to the left or to the right, and you're basically on Crown land, right?
Yeah, that's it. Everything's Crown land, but we've got is a small pistol range in the basement of our rod and gun club here. So it's pistol caliber and .22 only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crown land doesn't do you much good if you got ARs or pistols, unfortunately.
No, but you can have a lot of fun with a steel gong.
Yes. All right.
And
sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, Grant, how long did it take you to get home from Mapleseed?
It was pretty much 9 hours on the pin. Yeah, I got in about 1:30, 1:45, something like that. I basically didn't stop the whole way other than to fuel up. And then got up at 5 o'clock and went to work the next day.
Wow.
That is brutal. That is commitment.
Well, we're glad you made it.
I was tired all week.
I had a 6-hour drive and then bailed on my own show.
Yeah, you did.
Both did, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Moving on. And that brings us to Rick.
Yeah, Rick. I'm Rick from Montreal. I'm in the same club as Mario, so our club's closed for a week. They're redoing the AR-500 panels and changing rubber, so we're forced withdrawal. So I've been reloading 223 and 308. And 9mm, trying to catch up on my depleting stocks.
What else did you do with Nerf guns today?
Oh, yes, we had a Nerf war. Mm-hmm. It was a tournament with my 8-year-old nephew.
And who won?
He annihilated me. He had a full auto belt fed, and I had a single action five shot revolver. But I put up a good fight and went down in flames.
That's great.
Yeah, you had a great time. So did I.
You were at the Mapleseed. You were actually kind of pulling two hats.
I was. I always bring my camera just in case I'm a photographer and videographer as well. And I wasn't sure if they were already covering the event, so I thought I'd just bring one simple camera and see if I could provide some footage throughout the weekend. And as luck would have it, nobody was booked for it, so I just started shooting, I guess. So.
Now, where can people find those pictures?
Yeah, they'll be on my website, www.rkphoto.ca. And it should be on the main gallery, I guess.
And we'll make sure we get a link in the show notes to that.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay.
Great pictures.
Yeah, it was really well done. Actually, Wanda was so impressed. She's like, oh, I think we might have somebody to do our wedding photos.
Oh, perfect.
I'm like, he's in Montreal. I'm not sure he's going to drive to London to do a wedding.
I would do that. I went to Rome last year, so.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I know. So Wanda was quite taken by the photo. She thought you did a great job.
Oh, nice. Did she see my wedding album? I've got a wedding gallery as well, if she's interested.
Anyway, she will now.
Quite possibly.
Oh, I never said that. Sorry.
And she actually listens to the show now, so she'll get to hear all this.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Edit point.
Yeah.
Okay.
George, what'd you do?
So that brings me to, or brings us to me. My daughter, I'm not sure if folks remember, I think I've mentioned it on the show. My middle daughter is involved in a student exchange program. So she went to France for a couple months. Well, now it's time for the student from France to come to Canada. So I had her for the weekend, and so I took all the kids out shooting, and it was interesting because there was a bit of a language barrier to deal with, because normally I'll load one round and then show them the manual of arms and then let them shoot. But this time I had to leave, because of the language barrier, I left everything unloaded and then just had her walk through the steps first, because she kept wanting to put her finger straight into the trigger. And I was, because of the language barrier, trying to explain to her, you know, you can't do that. So once I got comfortable with her understanding that part, then we went to live ammunition. Shot the Marlin. She enjoyed that. Shot the pink buck mark. She really enjoyed that. I didn't have the proper ammo for my M22, so it was being fussy, so we just put that one away. And then I still have the BRS. Thomas, I said it correctly, BRS, 99.
Like it?
And she shot, I again put one round in, put it in, she shot it, ooh! And I'm like, no, and she's like, no, 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 and I was like, okay, put it back down, and then she just stayed with the 22s. So, which was a little unfortunate, because the previous day we had been at my parents' place, and I had her load 10 rounds of the 45 for herself, like, so she could load her own ammunition and shoot her own ammunition. But when the 9mm really scared her, so I was like, nope, that's... I gave her the cowboy, and I fired it first and showed her, and she just kind of went, no. And so the lever action, such a heavy gun, it really, it kicks probably as much as a 22, but she wasn't having any of it, so I was quite happy just leaving her on the 22. She was enjoying it, and left it at that. And
that, so you took a new kid shooting, that's good.
Yes. A foreign student shooting. So I sent pictures to her mom, and her mom was all happy and excited, and so... Yeah, so it was good. So that's what I did. And that was it.
Thomas, what about you?
I went back to the range. Spark 2 does not group. Another disappointing range trip. The Excalibur, it's not impressing me. It's for sale, by the way, if anybody wants to buy an Excal with 8 magazines. That's it. Oh, and Kelly shortchanged me on a box of ammo. Yeah,
I did.
So did you just try selling a gun that's not accurate that you don't like?
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So what... Oh, was
I shifted the sight, and I got a nice little tight group. But I want a 1911. I want a STI Trojan, 9mm.
So you have to sell a gun in order to get a gun.
That's where it works.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I will give you another box of ammo when I see you next. Yeah, that was hilarious when I saw the picture. I didn't know it was... I picked up two boxes and I gave them to you. I didn't know it was shortchanged.
I didn't even get it. I'm like, Wanda's looking at the picture. I'm looking at the picture and she's like, well, what's the point of this? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he likes putting pictures of partly full boxes of ammo. Like, I have no idea.
No, it's just me cheating him.
Well, I didn't realize you gave him the box and it was supposed to be full. That just makes
ammo
it hilarious.
I put through with the spark. So it could be ammo related, but I doubt it.
It's good ammo. So that brings me. So when we got home from Maple Seed, totally took apart the rifle. We weren't able to, or I wasn't able to when we were at Maple Seed, because taking apart the rifle means taking everything off of it, the optics, everything off. And I wasn't able to, so wanted to when we got home. What was happening was the trigger wasn't resetting. By the end of the day on Sunday, the trigger wasn't resetting well. And it was in the morning, it was spongy, and it had a little bit of dirt in it too. So We had to take everything off of it and clean even the trigger mechanism. We took it apart and cleaned it, and cleaned everything. It was just, it was really, really dirty and foul. So got that all cleaned up, and it's shooting really well. No problems with the trigger race set or anything, and the trigger's no longer feeling spongy. Went out to the range on Sunday, and I zeroed it in, and it took me... didn't take me any time to actually zero it in again, so it was good. We shot the squirrels challenge, and I was quite happy with it. I got a royal flush, and so I posted that. Today, I went out to the range. What I noticed when we were looking at the squirrel challenge was that it's still a little bit to the right, so I made the adjustment, and then I went and shot a red coat for my first target, and I ran through it, so, and I even got the Morgan shingle, and then I also did an AQT, which was my first one since Maple Seed. I got 216 on that one, and then I shot another one, got 209, but it was still pretty close to 210, so, and then I packed it up and called it a day, so I was happy with that.
Hey, Kelly, did you have to pull a George and take your scope off to clean that gun?
I had, yes.
Yes, you did, actually.
I was waiting for that one to come up.
When I clean my gun, I gotta take everything off of it. The rails, the scope, everything. It all has to be broken down. And that's why on Saturday, and thank you very much, Grant, by the way, for allowing us to use your room so that we could clean it up a bit. That's why I just put the boar snake down it on the Saturday night, because I knew if I took it apart, it'd take forever to put it back together, and then and setting it in and all that. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to just do a quick cleanup on the Saturday so that I could shoot on the Sunday.
Yeah, no problem. That was funny, thinking back. It's not like we were at a golf tournament and we were sitting around in the room cleaning clubs. But I guess there was a wedding going on and other folks were walking by, and I guess Kevin said he got a couple interesting looks. We're all had the guns out and windows open, door open, didn't even think twice, right?
Yeah. There's a guy, somebody in the room right beside you that just walked by, and he's looking in, and then on the other side of him was Mike and Sarah, and then there was George cleaning his guns as well.
Yeah, we had like a carpet of guns going by the end of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was more guns than floor.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good because everything was all broken down and laid out and that too, but it was, I'm sure that people... Well, I don't know. It's Bancroft. Would they look funny at us if they saw all these guns?
I don't think so.
It's north of 7.
Yeah, it's pretty rural.
They like hunting.
Okay. The guy was probably looking in to see just to see what kind of rifles you guys had.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure there's more than one kitchen with a 22 in it in Bancroft.
Yeah,
I'm sure there is. Yeah, and that's what I did with guns.
Excellent. All right, well, that brings us to our main topic, Maple Seed, Canada's inaugural event. This is our very first one, so a great big thank you to Sluggo for making this happen. Without him, from what I heard, was he actually contacted Appleseed to find out when one in New York or nearby was going to happen, and the shoot boss said, well, put one together and we'll come up and do it. So we're very grateful for Sluggo for showing an interest in it. And
putting it on.
For putting it on and getting everything organized.
They did a lot of work for that. And his gun club, they were very supportive of him doing it as well.
Yeah.
They did a lot of work, so congratulations to them, and thank you for all the hard work, and for feeding us as well.
Yes. Yes. So...
Pork tenderloin.
Yeah, what was the first day? The first day was burgers, and I bought lunch the first day.
Burgers, chili, and hot dogs.
Yeah, Wanda had gone to the grocery store to get stuff for lunch, and I was like, let's just have burgers, and we'll have the lunch tomorrow. And then the next day was pork tenderloin. I'm like, damn it, picked the wrong day for eating out. But So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with Kevin. What gun did you use for the Maple Seed?
Well, I guess Saturday I started with my Smith & Wesson M&P 1522, which is basically a 22 caliber AR. I used it for all of Saturday, and then due to some restrictions at the range, I used it in the morning as well on the Sunday. And then I switched over after lunch to my Northeastern Arms 15, so AR-15, 12.5-inch barrel, with an EOTech and a magnifier.
Is that EOTech or Ecotech?
No, it's definitely an EOTech.
EOTech.
Sorry.
Poor George. Poor Thomas.
Couldn't help myself.
And the that's the gun that you got the Maple Seed Rifleman on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, how many Rifleman scores did you score? You scored three, didn't you? Three, four?
Two, and then the third one was pretty close, but I did have, there was some crossfire, and I had a few, well, actually quite a few extra holes in my target on that one, so.
Unfortunately, take those off.
Yeah, they take the best ones off.
So that's when I kind of decided, I would call it a day. My last two targets there were, they had a bunch of extra holes, so I figured, well,
yeah,
I got my rifleman score, so.
Cool. All right, Mario, what gun did you use for the Maple Seed?
I used my Savage Model 64.
Nice gun.
Yeah, it's okay. By the last two AQTs, you know how hot it was out there, and the heat and everything, it just loosened up completely. My scope was loose. Everything was loosening up. The rail to mount it on was loose. It was just, I was shooting all over the place. The second to last one, despite my best efforts to shoot eight shots in Rick's standing target, he still managed to get his. So, despite my best efforts, I'm happy that I didn't damage his scores. So, but the last two was really brutal for me. The gun fell apart. It just was bad.
Mine stayed in my safe. It's shooting shotgun patterns, which I'm sure I've probably done something to it, but.
Yeah, despite that, I still managed to score a 176, which was a sharpshooter. So,
wow. Nice.
It was my first event. It was my first time shooting prone. So overall, you know what? I came out shooting better than when I went in. So overall, I'm really happy with it.
Oh, I would be.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I, going in, I said, yeah, I really want this this badge. You know what? It would have been nice, but I'm extremely happy with what I did. So.
Good.
Yeah. It was good, and the next one I'll just get it on the next one for sure, because I'm definitely going to the next one wherever that is. So.
Cool.
And you know what to expect as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now you're going in much better informed. You know what you're doing. You know what's expected. The focus is going to be really on the shooting next time. It's not the learning. The learning curve's already there, so you really know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Point.
All right, Sarah, you're up next. What gun did you use?
I use my Ruger 10/22. It has a pistol grip stock, so that was nice for me. Helped me balance the gun out a little bit. It has scope sights on it, but like Mario said, it towards the end of the day just fell apart. The scope jumped off the rail, but it took me a couple of tries at the test to figure it out. When all my shots were going high, I just thought I was getting tired, but it turns out the scope had come off the rail completely.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's good that you noticed that, though. Both you and Mike were having issues with your scopes.
Yeah, and it was nice.
Yeah, they let you actually fix them.
Yeah, it was nice. The shoot boss pretty much took my scope off and reattached it further back and helped me kind of get back in the groove with it.
I guess it's not uncommon after 2 days of steady shooting, they're going to loosen up.
And that's why they suggest you have a backup rifle, too, just in case. Like, you do a lot with them in 2 days, and by the end of the 2 days, you will see if there's any issues, you will see them happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Josie Wales was the shoot boss. He was excellent, and he was helping out Sluggo's daughter. I can't remember her name. Does anybody remember her name?
I think it was, like, Rihanna or Renata.
I think it was
something
Rihanna.
Like that.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
And and she was having issues with her scope as well, and he helped her out with it. And I think because of him helping her out, she stuck it out through the whole entire thing. She did amazing.
She was really good.
Yep.
All right, Mike, who does not double load 22s? I promise that's the last time I'll say that. I just had to say it one last time.
Mike who?
Okay.
Yeah. The one that doesn't double load 22s.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Okay. What gun did you use?
I just used a stock 10/22 with a really cheap 3x9 scope. And I didn't think it was that cheap until I literally saw the glass fall out of the scope while shooting it.
Ooh. It's that cheap.
A quick little interjection. When that happened, I said to Mike, I said, I got my Marlin. I can pull the scope off of that if you want it. I said, it's a Tasco. Mike looks at me and goes, so is this. It's okay, I'll use iron sights. Okay, don't blame you.
Mike.
Yeah?
You said something after you were shooting with your iron sights. You said that you felt more relaxed.
Oh, yeah, I felt so much more relaxed. When you're shooting with the scope on, you see where every shot is, including every miss. But after shooting like that for almost two whole days and then switching to iron sights and pretty much just taking shots and having no idea where they're landing, you kind of just, you can't stress about the last shot because you have no idea where it was.
Good point. Because all your focus is on the front sight and the target, so you can't really see where your shots are going because you don't have the stress level building up.
Exactly. Did you find that you shot better? With iron sights or
no?
Okay.
I don't even think the iron sights were actually sighted in to begin with.
Okay.
I just used them for something was better than nothing at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was getting towards the end of Sunday, anyways, right?
Yeah, that was like the last two AQTs, I think.
Yeah. Okay, Grant, you're up next, buddy. What gun did you use?
Yeah, so I shot a Marlin 795 with tech sights, and before coming down, I swapped out, I put in the M-Carbo spring kit, as well as the dip target trigger and bottom metal, so basically I tore the whole thing apart and sort of rebuilt it from the ground up.
Were you getting any light primer strikes with the Zappa spring kit?
No, not no light primer strikes at all with the M-Carbo spring kit. Like I said, I left... I did the full changeover, changed all the springs, so no issues with that yet. I think out of the whole weekend, I had one stovepipe, and that was it. I mean, that was most of the way through the day on Sunday, so all things considered, it held up well.
Yeah, I had had the Marlin that I bought off Thomas at the range today, and I got to say, that is a nice. Those are nice guns. I just love that thing. It's a nice gun. I guess that brings us up to Rick. What gun did you use?
I also shot with a Marlin 795. I love it. Nice. I mean, it was $150. It's an amazing rifle.
They are.
I put in the M-Carbo spring kit as well, and I was using a cheapo Simmons 22 mag scope. It's like $49. So all in, I was about $200 plus the spring kit. For that 795, and I love it. I did put a foam pad on the to get a better cheek weld. It's about half inch thick, and then I just put one of those shotgun shell holders to hold it in place. Yeah, and I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and you shot a rifleman with it.
Yeah,
so it was good. Well, I was really happy with it.
And you know what? It goes to show that. It's not the equipment that's going to get you the score. It's the person behind the trigger. The equipment may assist and help you, but at the end of the day, $200 worth of gear, and there's a rifleman score, right? So, okay. So, Kevin, we're back to you. Optics, sights, what were you peering your eyes through?
Oh, yeah, so I guess I covered that already, but on the 15/22, I just had a Vortex 2-7 scope, I think it's Crossfire 2 or something, and the AR, I was running the EXPS 2 EOTech, it's the single dot EOTech, and the actually a Vortex magnifier, 3-power magnifier.
Cool. All right, Mario, what optics or sights were you using?
I was using, it's the same one as Rick. Well, Rick, what did we use? We used the, it was Simmons. A 4X.
Yeah, Simmons it's 6 full power. Power. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Sarah, what were you peering through?
I was using the same as Mario and Rick. I had a Simmons. I had a 3x9X just for the 22. It was working okay.
Cool. And Mike, did we mention? Oh, yeah, I think I mentioned that you were using a Tasco, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, 3x9.
3x9. Yeah, that's what I think I got that on my Marlin and my my Savage.
That's with the optional quick change reticle, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And Grant, you kind of mentioned what you were what sites you were using. How about you mention that again?
Yeah, I was running the tech sites there, and just like Mike said earlier, when you're using irons, it meant you got to have a much more increased focus on MPOA, and like Josie Whale said, build it, check it, trust it. Because once you trust it, there's no way to check your targets between shots or between courses of fire like you would with the scope. Kelly would always ask, you know, how did that course of fire go? I said, I don't know. felt yeah. good. I can't see them, right? So
Yeah, that was one thing I was struggling with the first Appleseed, and Stacy finally, she just said, just trust your MPOA. Just trust it. And about halfway through Saturday, I was struggling with getting it, and I just kind of reflected back on that, and it was, and then my scores started getting much better, well, my shooting started getting much better, so.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, I think that was covered too. What were you shooting?
So Simmons fixed 4 power.
So we had 4 of those, 3 of those on the line? I think
yeah,
there was 3 people used
yeah.
those?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay, so
they held up.
Was that?
So they held up, at least. They didn't have the adjustable lens like the Tasco did.
And I don't know what I was using. What's on your 1022, Thomas? It's like
you had a Bosch Loam Elite 4000.
As big, giant, fancy-looking thing. I don't know what it was.
What power were you at? Because you had to turn it down, didn't you?
It was 6.
24.
No.
He's got to shoot it at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I shot at the lowest setting.
Did anybody, sorry, I'm just moving on. Did anybody, Rick, you said that you adjusted the cheek weld, you put some foam on. Did anybody else do that during the course of fire at all? Did they talk about that, really? Putting some padding and some vet tech wrap on it or anything?
I had to do it last year. Yeah. I increased my grip, and I had to increase the cheek weld on my adjustable stock for the 1022.
Yeah, that was one thing they didn't really go over a whole lot at the Maple Seed that they seemed to spend a lot of time at the Apple Seed on, was getting that cheek weld just where it needed to be.
What they got, the chicken neck?
Turkey neck.
Did anybody have issues with the reticle being able to see through it, having to adjust to because the cheek weld wasn't right?
No, I didn't have a problem with it.
Mm. Okay. Just thought I'd ask. Moving on.
So next, trigger work. Any trigger work that was done? Kevin?
Oh, I got stock military-style triggers, like mil-spec triggers on both my rifles. So they're, you know, probably 9 or 12 pounds, something like that.
And a lot of the Marlins all have the Zabo spring kit in them, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mario, any trigger work done?
No, mine was just the stock trigger, which was surprisingly not bad. When we started to focus on the release, you know, like, you remember they're saying, like, hold it down and then release, and, it was starting to get a really nice feel for it after that. I was surprised. It was actually pretty good. I had a bit of a mag feeding problem, but the trigger was great.
All right. Yep. So, how's everyone?
Awesome.
I was waiting for George.
Yeah.
Did we lose George?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah.
And like I said in the pre-show, if you forget to unmute yourself, we will point it out and laugh at you. And that was me that ended up doing it. Okay.
Slipped away to oblivion.
All right. Sarah, any trigger work done on yours?
I used the stock trigger, but Mike installed Wolf Springs Kit in for me. So he did a little bit of work there, but nothing too crazy.
Cool. And how about you, Mike?
Pretty much the same thing. A little bit of the homemade Dremel special on it, but besides that, nothing too fancy.
And Grant, any trigger work done?
Yeah, I have the dip target trigger and bottom metal in it. It's like a nice aluminum target trigger for the Marlin 795.
Excellent.
Nice. And Rick, you had asked where I found it.
Yeah.
There's a place in the U.S. called Kinney's Shooting Supply. I can send you the information, but that's who Dip won't send it to Canada, but Kinney's will.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Do they have any other Marlin parts for the 795?
No, that's about it, but they've got these target triggers for a bunch of different 22 rifles. I don't remember them all off the top of my head, but there's one for the Savage Mark II and maybe some 10/22 parks as well.
Oh, excellent. Oh. I can get some for the Mark II. It's hard getting any type of accessory for the 795. There's just not
there's
nothing
none.
Out there.
There's none.
I had a really hard time trying to dig up magazines for it, and I actually think, I can't remember, but I think it was one of the two places, George, in London that I called basically every gun shop in Ontario trying to find mags for it, and it was one of the two places in London. I want to say it was Bullseye, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I got mine through Cabela's.
Okay. Did you guys try Brownells as well down in the States?
Brownells? I did not.
The problem with Brownells is it
try there.
Nails you.
Yeah. Try to combine it with other things. That's where Kevin was able to get. I wasn't able to find the factory makes for me. That's the only place we were able to find them.
I got one from Sale, and then I got two from Cabela's. So I got lucky. Usually it's back order, but
yeah. All right.
So that brings us to Rick. Any trigger work done on the Marlin?
No, just the spring kit. But I was looking for that dip trigger setup. Now that Kevin's got a line on it, I'm going to try and get that. I think that's the last thing I want to change on it. It's kind of mushy, plasticky.
Grant, can you send us that link, and we'll also post it on our show notes too.
Okay.
If other people are looking for them as well.
Sure thing, and I it did make a difference. It's quite a nice trigger. Just even the width, I think it's 3/8 of an inch wide. It's a nice wide trigger blade, so it's nice.
Okay.
It makes a big difference. And Kelly, you had the Volks Korsenhammer kit dropped in, didn't you?
Yep. And it was working great until, as I said, till Sunday. It was a little mushy in the morning. I think there was some dirt in there, and I think there was also some water in there. And then once it started to warm up, it got nice, and then by the end of the day, it froze up when I was trying to do a trigger reset. So I had to pull it all apart. Now it's working fine.
All right, so that brings us to the 10/22s of the group. Factory barrel, let's see, who was shooting the 10/22? Sarah, you were shooting a 10/22, right?
Yeah.
And was it factory barrel?
Yeah, I didn't change anything in it.
And Mike?
Yep, mine was factory as well.
Was it? And I think it was just the two of you out of the group that were shooting the 10/22, correct?
Except for me.
Except for you?
Yeah.
You? Was yours factory?
Yeah, mine's factory. But I also got the suppressor put on the end of it, right?
Kidding. Really? Wow. And for the CFOs that are listening, Kelly's can be reached at...
Kidding.
It's a flash suppressor.
Yeah.
No, it's just a barrel shroud.
Yeah.
Just a plastic barrel shroud.
But somebody did ask, is that a suppressor?
It's as much of a suppressor as the BRS has a suppressor on it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, moving
mine
on.
Mine didn't have a factory barrel. Mine actually had a Shooter's Ridge bull barrel on it, George. So you're the only one that didn't have a factory
barrel. It was tricked out.
Okay, we kind of touched on this next one a little bit. Did you have to increase the comb height, adjusting the cheek weld? Kevin, did you make any adjustments to your cheek weld?
Nope, my 1522 has just got a standard collapsible MOE, Magpul MOE stock on it, and the my NEA 15 has a fixed MOE stock on it, rifle stock. So they're just standard AR height.
Now, what's MOE?
It's just their baseline equipment. It's the like the baseline stocks.
Oh, okay.
They so have.
Is it like a just like a model?
Yeah, and they have like CTRs, and they have a bunch of different kinds of stocks.
Oh, okay, and I didn't MOE know if it was an acronym. Kinda, I didn't know if it was an acronym for something or.
I think it's Magpul Original Equipment or something like that. Just okay. The kind of the baseline version of it.
Gotcha. Okay, Mario, did you have to make any adjustments for the cheek weld?
Actually, going in, I had built up a cheek weld pad. When I got there and I got down in the prone, because I hadn't tested it in the prone position, and as soon as I got in, as soon as I got there and I was lying down in the prone, I went, wow, this is really not going to work. So I actually ripped it right off and just kept the original stock as is and shot okay, but I'm going to have to do a bit of work with that.
How about you, sir? Did you have to make any modifications for the cheek weld?
No, not on mine, but I have an adjustable stock with mine. The back moves closer and further away, so I just kept it at one. And when we reinstalled my scope, I moved it back a little bit because the scope moved back. So,
right.
But nothing going up and down.
How about you, Mike?
Nope, I just left mine stock.
And Grant?
I was running iron, so I didn't really need to build up the comite at all.
And Rick?
Yep, I had a half-inch foam pad.
That's right. I knew somebody had added something. Okay. What was your overall impression of the event, Kevin?
Well, it was great. It was well-run. Certainly, the instructors were excellent. It was interesting to see, like we've been to Appleseed before, so I was really interested to see what the history would be like, and it was interesting to see that they brought in some kind of international flavor to the history rather than it just being, I mean, they still taught the three strikes and talked about the Revolutionary War and everything, but there was obviously some different content, so that was good. It's unfortunate we suffered from the weather a little bit with the thunder and lightning and lost a bunch of time there, but I think they recovered well, and Sunday we started rolling along like a freight train, really getting through all the EQTs. So it was good.
Cool. Mario, overall impression?
Yeah, I kind of agree. You know, going in, obviously it was my first one. I hadn't actually even heard of it until Rick had told me about it. Then I started doing a bunch of research, and I saw it was quite fascinating. Like I said earlier, you know, my expectation was, yeah, I really want to get this badge. And then going, you go, okay, it's going to be a lot harder than you anticipate. You know, shooting the 400 simulated is quite hard. And at first I said, okay, what are you going to do for the history? And like Kevin said, it's quite interesting, because in that period of time, you know, the Canadian and American histories are kind of tied together because Canada was the Dominion, and you get into a lot of Canadian history, and so it was quite fascinating anyways to see a bit of the American side, a little more detail within that, but tied in with some Canadian stuff as well, and it was a very fascinating setup, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great event. I think these could do really well in Canada as well. Obviously, with a little bit more Canadian focus, but the overall principle of that is, you know, is obviously more tied to perhaps the American point of view, which is fine. I mean, it's all part of history anyways, right? So,
yeah, I agree. I'm a bit of a history nerd, so I had no problems with them doing the three strikes just because I just love history. History is history, right? It doesn't matter
exactly
where you come from.
Exactly. I'm the same thing.
Okay, Sarah, what was your overall impression?
I really enjoyed it when Mike told me about it and asked if I wanted to give it a try. So I didn't really know much about Appleseed. So I tried going into it not to do a ton of research so I could go in with an open mind and learn as much as I could without any preconceived ideas or anything like that. And actually, the couple days before we started, when we went to the range, we shot like a mini AQT, and I did so bad. I didn't even qualify for anything, so I kind of went into it really apprehensive that I wasn't going to do that great. But I surprised myself with the highest score I got. I got a 161, so I was really proud of myself for achieving that on my first go, and kind of caught the bug and can't wait to get back to another one.
Yeah. Excellent. For anyone listening that might find themselves in the same boat, Don't get stressed out. My first score on my first AQT, partly thanks to Thomas, was I think in the 60s. It took me like halfway through Sunday before I even qualified out of unqualified. So you know, don't let that be a discouragement. We had a bunch of great shooters, and you know, it's okay. This is just me. When I go into it, as long as I come out the other end on Sunday afternoon better than the Saturday, it's a successful weekend for me.
And Sarah and I were shooting beside each other, and every time we'd go up and look and see how we did, I'd look over at Sarah's, and I'd notice the progression throughout Sunday especially, and you did really, really well, Sarah. I was going, you go, girl.
I was trying so hard to concentrate, although the standing was probably my best part of the whole AQT.
Yeah.
So I'd feel really positive starting out, and then it would just kind of like progressively get harder and harder.
You did really well.
Thanks.
And that brings us to Mike. What was your overall impression?
It was really positive. The instruction was really good. The history, I liked it. Just all the people that were there were all really positive and really like good to be around. It wasn't a competitive environment at all. And it just felt really like a really good crowd to be with. And it was a really great bunch of people that you'd want to spend a weekend with.
Yeah, I agree. The Appleseed in Michigan, it was the same way. You get around like-minded people, and it just everything just really clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, Mr. Grant, your overall impressions.
Yeah, along the same lines, I thought it was a great event, and like Mike said there, you get a bunch of like-minded gunnies sending lead downrange. You can't really go wrong with that. The instruction was well done, and you know, huge thanks to the club for taking care of us there and bending range rules maybe a little bit on Sunday for us. And I thought that you know, the history was interesting. I think that there's opportunity to maybe develop something a bit more tailored for a Canadian audience if this thing keeps going. Some of the highlights for me had to be shooting next to you there, George. I think my first AQT, the slow prone, the last course of fire, I think you hammered my target. I don't think you put a single round in your own.
It happens.
Yeah.
I was so mad at Thomas when he did that to me. And then, you're right, Grant, very, very first AQT. And what do? I shoot up yours. You're right, I didn't on the slow prone. Not even one in my target. And then somebody was shooting at Kelly's target, and I'm like, oh, crap, is that me? I look up, like, no, I'm still on mine. I'm good. It's not me.
Yeah, we find, like, it was the same thing at Appleseed down in Michigan. As the day goes on and people get tired and all that, there tends to be a little bit more crossfire. And Kevin was getting some as well, as he said. But you know what? It's part of the game, and but it is hilarious as well. But it's just like, oh, I was doing so well. No, oh man.
Well, I think there's a lot of people on the line. There's 19 targets down there, so it's gonna happen. It was tight.
Yeah.
Like you and I did playing footsie all night
with Rick. And there was somebody beside me that was sort of cross shooting on mine, and I got. I kind of got a little aggravated. I went, oh man, you know, it's like I'm shooting well, you know. And then what do? First shot, standing, the second to last AQT, I stand up and I put the first eight in Rick's target.
<And she's> like,
And that was the one where he scored his yeah.
Oh no.
Oh. So it's a good thing you put all yours. If he doesn't get it, it's going to be really bad.
Yeah. I'm glad you put all yours in the middle, Mario.
Yeah, some of the other highlights for me were probably that rainstorm on Saturday afternoon. Josie Wales, you know, sort of asked everyone, you know, is everyone comfortable with getting your equipment wet and this and that? And then, you know, Viet Vet made the call, we should all be going inside. We decided not to, keep shooting. Next thing you know, it's a downpour. The line's getting soaked. I asked George if I could tuck my rifle under his raincoat. He obliged. Next thing I know, his shooting mat, both rifles are being thrown downrange, covered in sand. The canopy's flying over. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then running back to the truck, I realized it after the fact, but here we are. Thunder and lightning, I'm running back to the truck with a carbon fiber cleaning rod in my hand. It's like going off. It's like,
hit me, brilliant.
But no, overall, I thought it was really good. Pulled off a 181 as my high score. Definitely some mental management training to focus on moving forward. I definitely had that long drive looming over me, and also fatigue and from the heat on Sunday. I'm sure I wasn't the only one, but it didn't matter how much water you drank, it was hot.
Yeah. And 181, iron sights, awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yep.
Okay, Rick, your overall impression.
I think it was a great event. I mean, I just loved hanging around everyone, and kind of the way everyone really listened to the stories, and the stories themselves were interesting. I didn't know a lot about American history, and certainly it was very informative, and how passionate they spoke about it as well. I think without exception, all three of the shoot bosses were, you know, they love it, they believe in it, and they did a great job at, you know, compressing all of those marksmanship training points and teaching points into one weekend over and over again. And you know, that day two was intense. I mean, it was one rotation after another. I was feeling it. Toward the end of the day, I was just fried. But I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Styx calls it the AQT grind, and it is aptly named for a reason. It is a grind.
Yeah, that was for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the rifles were just baking in the sun. I mean, they were hot. Even just the stock was, you know, plastic synthetic stock. I mean, it was. I'm sure they were getting noodly.
Yep.
Yeah. Same with the ammo. The ammo was heating up too.
You know, it's excellent value for the money, because there's no place else you can take a 2-day marksmanship course for $60. And your t-shirts, you're getting a t-shirt anyway, so 2 days of training for $40.
Yeah.
It's well worth it.
Yeah. All right, so the next question is, would you do it again, or would you go again to an Appleseed or a Mapleseed? Kevin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you.
either one, yeah, Appleseed or Mapleseed. I'm pretty sure we're going to another Appleseed in the States as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are. I have to get my rifleman.
You will.
Actually, you might, if we go to the one in February, you'll be getting your winter seed patch. Mario, would you do it again, or would you go again?
Absolutely, and just like Kelly, I would love to do a winter one. I want that patch, and now I know what to expect. Like I said earlier, the winter one, even if there's one in the States, something close by, you know, I'm willing to do like a 6-7 hour drive. I'm sort of into that. So there's something coming up there that I could do. I would be into it as well. And the winter one is definitively very interesting. So I may join you guys for that for sure.
Yeah, the winter one seems rather appropriate for the Canadians that attend. Yeah.
One of the things you have to be aware of if we're doing it in the States, the different states have different laws. New York State is closer to us, Ontario, but their laws are quite rigid compared to us. You know, so
Sarah and I wouldn't be able to bring our 22s in.
No, and Kevin and I couldn't either, so...
Mm.
Yeah. So just saying, if you're going to choose one, make sure that you choose one where you're able to actually bring your rifles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're just going to have to buy a new rifle.
The U.S. approved rifle. All right, Sarah, would you go again?
Oh yeah, I have to go to another one.
Awesome.
I have to get that patch. So.
Awesome.
Yay!
And,
no doubt.
And I guess if Sarah's going, I guess that means Mike, you'll be going as well.
Well, someone needs to drive her, right?
That's true.
If for no other reason.
While I'm there.
Excellent. Grant, how about yourself?
Oh, for sure. I'd like to do another one in Canada because that maple seed patch is just awesome.
Oh, I know. I want one of those.
It is.
Yeah.
All right.
Thomas, it was funny when you showed up on the Sunday there. You seemed pretty disappointed.
When I saw it, yeah.
A little regret?
Well, I didn't do it because I got my rifleman's patch back in Michigan. And then I saw Kevin's patch. It's like, oh, man, I want one of these now. It's a nice patch. It really is. I'd be proud to wear it.
Yep. All right. And Rick, before we get to Rick, Grant, that's, I think that really says a lot for the event because with you being so far north,
yeah.
No matter where it is, it's going to be one heck of a drive for you. So.
Yeah, but coming from up here, it doesn't matter what you want to do. Everything's going to be a heck of a drive.
Yeah.
I would like if it was still in Ontario. That would probably keep it a little closer. I'm not sure I would make the trip into the U.S. for it, but definitely if this comes back to Ontario, I'd make the trip again.
Don't want to speak for anybody, but there definitely seems to be enough interest that another maple seed for next year might not be unreasonable. So,
I wouldn't even think next year. I think you might even get another one sooner than that.
I'm hoping sooner.
I do know that they're planning one for the East Coast, but I think they're also planning one for Ontario. I think some people just need to pick up the torch and run with it.
Be like Sluggo.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rick.
Well, speaking to Nick, he was talking about they want to get a chapter going up here, and they want to get people to get involved. So it can happen if people put the effort into it.
Yeah, Nick was definitely given the impression that they would not object to starting a hat crew, like blue hats, red hats, orange hats, and then eventually a green hat, and getting a crew in Canada, so Canada would have its own crew.
And the history portion can be whatever we want.
Yep.
We could do World War One, World War Two. We can pick specific people and places in our own history. It doesn't have to be what they designed. They said that was just a template. They just wanted something to show us when I spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did get it going, you could include whatever Canadian history you want.
There's so much we could choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
So, Rick, would you do it again, or would you go
again? Absolutely. I would absolutely go again. It's a fabulous, I mean, like you said, where else can you get so much instruction for so low a price? And the quality is amazing. I mean, if you follow any sort of marksmanship training, all of the same principles are there. It's just, it's just hammered into you over and over again.
Yep.
And
now,
go ahead.
Sorry, would you be more interested in doing an apple seed as opposed to a maple seed?
I would do both. I think as long as we keep the training consistent up here, I think there really isn't a difference except for the history part, which I think would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to try and light that fire under everyone else attending the maple seed event, because I think there's a lot we can do to kind of turn the tide, so to speak, up here in terms of people's attitudes. So I think it'd be great.
All right. Now, the next question is, would you be interested in hosting a maple seed in your area? I'm just going to throw this one out. Would any of you guys be interested in approaching your range to see if they would, or rather just attend somebody else's?
Definitely. I did speak to Josie Wales on the phone for about a half hour last week, and he basically said that we're going to have to create our own program here if we really want to be able to do it. So our own history, our own hats, our own potentially our own charitable organization, our own website, registration, all that stuff. So there is
a lot.
There's a lot to do to really make it a maple seed program. So whether we and obviously we have to or to keep the core group that have were interested in and participated, and Sluggo obviously is a huge part of that. He did all the work for the previous one, so we kind of have to, at least from what Josie had said, and I agree, is to keep that group together and not have like a bunch of different things happening at once, so we can kind of, you know, make it work in a cohesive manner rather than having various things like even maybe down east or whatever, like try to kind of get a get it all sorted out.
Like a template for the rest of the country.
Because there's a lot to it. Like there's a lot of details, insurance, all those things that you have to think about. And he spent months and months planning it. Like it was on the Appleseed site back in I think January or something, maybe before that. That's when I became aware of it. It was in January, and I registered for it in February. So it was definitely a long time in the planning.
Mm-hmm.
And any other events would, I mean, maybe not as bad for the, if we just wanted to run another one just like the one that just happened, you know, where it's mostly just done as an Appleseed with a little bit of different content. I mean, that's probably not as bad, but if you really want to make a Mapleseed program, then there's going to have to be a lot of work done by some dedicated people to make it really work.
Now, was the impression kind of that it would have to be something that would be separate and independent from the Appleseed program?
Well, the thing is that at some point that's going to have to happen anyway if we really want it to be a Mapleseed, right, with our own history, even just opening the event, right? Like, it's Canadians do things a little differently than Americans. Like, they open their event in a different way than we probably would, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of things like that eventually you're going to have to kind of split it and say, okay, this really is a Canadian program that was founded on some of the principles of the American program, but it truly is Canadian, or are we just running a different flavor of what they're running? Like, there's, to really make it Canadian, it has to be separate.
Yeah, that's true. Now, would anyone in the group be interested in getting involved, or is everyone just kind of rather just stay on the shooting level? Anyone have any aspirations to eventually get like a orange hat or a red hat or anything like that?
Well, I'd certainly be interested. It's something that I really enjoy, and I can see, you know, for me, it's also about education about the shooting sport. And I think this puts it in a very positive light, and it teaches people, because a lot of the negativity towards shooting, I feel, comes from a lack of education. And this sort of event, I think, would be a really good opportunity to show people what it's all about, the camaraderie, the fun, the enjoyment. And people need to experience that to get a different view about shooting altogether. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that. And I'm really, what's the word I'm looking for? Fervent about spreading that word.
I would be pretty excited to get involved with, especially with the history aspect. Like, I love history and I love teaching people about it. I used to work in museum. Like, I worked in a nuclear bomb shelter as a guide for a museum. So anytime I can educate people about history and get them kind of fired up about it and why it's important, I love it.
Well, the passion's there. We just have to get some people out there and get them involved.
Well, and
like Kevin said, it's a big commitment. You really need somebody to go at it full time just to get it started and then keep it rolling.
Right. We need somebody to spearhead it, and then roll with it.
I vote George.
I was thinking Kevin. Go, Kevin.
Kevin's doing enough work for us. Don't put any more work in Kevin. He's getting us the range for the charity shoot. So
yeah, that's true. My one thing that's holding me back is just I want to get a rifleman's patch first, and I haven't, between Michigan and Bancroft, I haven't put in an appropriate trigger time with the rifle. So that's going to be kind of my first priority, is to get that score up. But it's definitely, I taught forklift training. I was a forklift trainer for almost most of my working life. Every job, every company I went to work for, on my resume was forklift trainer, and then I became the company forklift trainer. So I've got the training in my blood. I love standing up front and people teaching. So it's definitely something I would most definitely get involved in. But again, I want to focus on getting that rifleman first, before kind of putting the cart before the horse. I think that's an important step for me anyways.
I think you have to actually have your rifleman and a couple of shoots in before you can even be an instructor.
So the way that it works is the hat system is the blue hats are the admin people. They are the ones that help out behind the scenes, take registrations, etc. They don't have to have their patch. The orange hats are the instructors in training. You have to have so many hours. They do have to have their rifleman's patch. The red hats are the instructors. They've put in their time and they've got the rifleman. And then the green is the shoot boss. And but everybody can do the history, everybody can help with instruction and that as well. So if you want to become a blue hat, I don't know. Kevin, Josie Wales was talking about even introducing our own system of hats, wasn't he?
Yes. I don't know whether, and I don't know whether he meant just variations of our own kind of design without the RWVA on it. And just like a, you know, maple leaf or something, some symbol of maple seed, or whether it was an entirely separate colored system. But I imagine it would be just a variation of what they already have. And I mean, it seems to work for them. It most likely is going to work just as well for us.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a big need to change the color scheme, but putting something else on the hat other than the RWVA, obviously that would have to, we'd have to put something else on the hats.
Well, I do know that there's how many Canadians who have maple seed and also the apple seed rifleman patch.
Nobody.
So, well, no. Well, there's people who have the rifleman and there's people who have the maple seed rifleman. So, no, nobody has both yet. But of those people can actually take up. So, Rick, Sluggo, Kevin, Ryan Bolivar, you, Thomas, and Jazz.
So we got enough people.
Yep, you got enough people.
And Jazz is from Quebec, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's from Montreal.
Okay.
So
you guys almost have your own crew right there between the three of you.
There we go.
Yeah, and technically the right now for the orange hat, you have to have two apple seeds, or I guess one apple seed, one maple seed, plus rifleman. So I guess there's really only one person that qualifies for that.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
So we're back to Kevin.
I second the motion.
Yeah, he's the only one with two shoots in.
Yeah.
And they're also talking about running an IBC, so an instructor's boot camp. So that that will change things as well.
So those that, and I'm included in this group, that are interested in seeing this get up and off the ground, we got to get working at getting our riflemen's and attending at least one more apple seed or maple seed.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's my goal.
Okay, that's cool. A goal.
All right.
Hey Kevin, did Josie Wales give you a list of all the stuff that has to happen?
We just kind of chatted. I think he was on the road when when we were chatting, and I didn't really write down everything he said, but he just kind of went through some of the challenges that they had in getting the maple seed, the first maple seed going, and then some of the challenges that we're gonna face moving forward to really turn it into a separate program.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be up for taking on some of those tasks if you can use my help.
Yeah, and I think we definitely need to talk to Sluggo and get some communication going. I'm not sure how we're gonna, what format we're gonna use, but something so that we can all kind of exchange ideas and keep in contact and kind of keep it moving together.
Well, we can start something up between the group of us, and then also if anybody else that was attending the shoot wants to be added to it as well. I know that there's a few other people that were interested.
Cool. All right. So, some closing comments. Anything in closing there, Kevin? Any final thoughts?
Not really. Just if you can make it to an apple seed or a maple seed, do it. It's awesome experience. You'll meet a lot of great people. You'll definitely learn something. I don't care if you're like a top level competitive shooter. You're going to learn something.
Mario, any final thoughts?
I pretty well will mirror exactly what Kevin just said. It's a great event. Like we've all said, also value for the dollar is absolutely unbeatable for what you're learning. You'll definitely come out better than you went in. That's, you know, period. It's great.
Sarah.
I had a great time. It was a great experience, and I just want to thank Sluggo for all the hard work he put in. Even before the event, I sent him an email asking him about slings, and he sent me a list of about 5 places I could order, and then followed up with me later to make sure I had a sling and that awesome. I was prepared. So he went above and beyond to put on this great event.
Awesome. Mike.
A great event, and I think everyone out there who's listening should make a real effort to get out there and try one of these events.
Awesome. Grant, any final thoughts?
Yeah, just looking forward to the next one, and I'm not sure if I'm jumping the gun here on shoutouts, but I wanted to give a shout-out to Kevin. During that thunderstorm, the Canadian flag went down, and he noticed, and he was right out there picking it back up.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I did notice that, too.
Very important thing to do.
Well done, Kevin. And
thanks.
Rick, final thoughts.
I think I can't wait for the next one. I think I wouldn't miss it for anything. I think it's a super, super way to get training in and just spend a great weekend with a bunch of great people. So it's super. Yeah.
Cool. Now, Kelly and I haven't really shared much because we talked quite a bit last episode. But Kelly, any final thoughts you'd like to add?
No, it's just... as I said last week, it was great to meet everybody, and I had such a great time, and I'm planning to either go to another Appleseed or Mapleseed. I hope that there's going to be one that's close to the area. If there is, I'll probably be helping out with it. I hope to have my rifleman by that time, but if not, I'll definitely help out at the event and then go and get my rifleman at some other point. But just wanted to say thanks to you guys for coming on tonight as well and letting us know what you thought of the event. And, yeah, you guys are awesome.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And thanks for having us.
And Thomas, I know you didn't participate, but you were there Sunday. Any thoughts, any final thoughts you'd like to add?
I really wanted to thank the guys from the New York chapter of Appleseed. They did so much work. And... a year in planning, so I just give those guys a shout out because I really appreciate it, and I really regret not signing up for the match. So next Maple Cedar Apple Seed, George, you're using your Marlin.
And I, you know what? If that means it's because you're shooting it, I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, I definitely want to win the next one.
And
if I may, one quick thank you. Also, I'd like to add that to the executive committee of the Bancroft Fish Game Club. Those guys were fantastic. They, you know, the first hosting event again with Sluggo and the rest of the executive committee that was there. They're great people, great time, great little town. Had a really fantastic time there.
Well, hopefully they'll let us have another match at their range in the near
future. I think they saw how good it was. I think they'd certainly be open to it.
And my final thoughts on the whole event are basically same as everybody else's. It's a great time. You're not going to get better bang for your buck. You get great training. You know, I'm going to continue attending them up to getting my rifleman. And until then, I will focus on getting my rifleman. And then once I get that, then I will start focusing on getting my blue hat and whatever hat sequence we end up. So this is going to be, I think, a lifelong thing for me. I enjoy it so much that I'm definitely going to get behind this.
You never noticed, George, every show over the last 6 months has been Appleseed or Maple Seed.
Yeah. Well, and the listeners, you know, the listeners know, like, as soon as I attended that Appleseed and found out about the Maple Seed, I was plugging it to get it sold out. I believe in the program, and it's such a great program. And if we get this Maple Seed up and running, get our own history, get our own patriotism, and that's really the driving force behind the Appleseed, is to get that patriotism, to get that fire relit for Americans, for their country. And you know, I think Canada could use some of that enthusiasm too. Get our flames lit, and you know, be reminded, you know, be proud to be Canadian. We got lots to be proud about.
True.
So, all right, guys, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. You guys are awesome. I think Mike and Sarah actually went out and bought some equipment to join us today, so hats off to you guys.
Excellent, thanks.
You guys rock.
No problem.
Yeah.
So now you guys will have to strap your own podcast, just saying.
Oh, yeah.
You got the equipment.
Canadian Armed Couples Project, yeah.
There Sarah. Sarah, I'm going to contact you about doing a ladies' show.
Oh, that sounds great.
Cowboy action.
Yeah, we'll
so
talk
you're actually
about that.
You're gonna do the ladies' show now? This is confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Awesome.
Cool.
We need one.
All right, guys. So thanks for everything. Thanks for joining us. And my dog said it all. There you go. I'm trying to think of a clever way to close this out. So you know, in typical George fashion, I close this out with a bit of a train wreck and my dog barking.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for getting us out there.
All right, and that brings us to Guns in the News. So the first story here, I'll take the first story. Government amends firearms classification regulations as of July 31st, 2015. Today, the Honorable Stephen Blaney, Canada's Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness Canada, announced the Harper government has amended the firearms classification regulations to prescribe... Okay, who put the actual name of the thing? CZ. I'm not even going to try to say that. CZ 858 rifles and certain Swiss Arms family of firearms as restricted or non-restricted as they were treated prior to February 26. Through these amendments, possession of the CZ 858 rifle and certain Swiss Arms family of rifles will be governed by the same rules as those applicable to non-restricted and restricted firearms in Canada. And I believe this was a news release that was sent out by the CSSA, I believe, was it not?
Yes.
I think I copied and pasted this one.
This is from the minister's release, too.
Yeah, yeah. via the CSSA. So
good news for 858 owners.
Great news. Mm-hmm. I would have tagged Terry Poole when I posted this on the Facebook page, but apparently my technology foo is substandard to Thomas's because I have no idea how to tag people when I'm in the New Shooter Canada page. So, but Terry found it and saw it and responded accordingly. Yeah. So,
now there was one question that we had somebody asking about. He asked about his Swiss Arms, and he goes, "Does that like he turned his in? So what does that mean?"
Oh, yeah, I think it was the CZ.
The CZ, and I'm going, well, I think that he's screwed.
I said this on the Facebook page. I haven't heard any talk or any mention of anything pertaining to that type of a situation in any releases. So I suspect anyone that's in that boat where they had already handed in their rifles, I think they may be kind of SOL.
The problem is because it becomes a property of the state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And once it becomes state property, good luck getting it back. Well, I'm assuming
that they've been destroyed.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too. So that's quite the bummer.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Quite the volume.
It's good, yeah. But it's bad. People lost their guns out of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could also inquire with the... send in an inquiry, see if there's any possibility of getting them back, but I'm assuming that they've been destroyed.
Yeah. Alright, so that brings us to story two. Who's taking story two?
Well, there's more good news. The government announced new provisions to the Common Sense Firearms Licenses Act again. Minister Laney, where are we here? Effective September 2nd, the elimination of the POL, which is converting over to existing PALs now. So there's 530,000 people currently have POLs. So you're going to have another 500,000 licensed firearms owners in the country, which is good. Currently, and with the ATTs are going to be attached to your license, because currently firearms owner have to apply to the CFO for which they live to transport restricted and prohibited firearms, and they have to carry the ATT as a separate document. The changes to the ATP provision means that an ATT will be automatically attached as the condition of your license. Therefore, a license holder will no longer have to apply separately in order to transport those firearms to and from routine range activities such as target shooting, taking home after transfer, going to the gunsmith, gun show, a Canadian port of entry, or for a police officer. So more good news from the safety minister's office.
Right. So we have dates now.
We do.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now it's getting a little, it's starting to become a lot more concrete. So.
Yeah. I think there's still going to be some growing pains when it comes into effect, but I think it.
The biggest best growing pain is that we have might have an election coming up, so we might lose everything that we just got.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
The best best word of advice would be just to keep those paper ATTs even after the date. That way, because you never know, you might get some cop that's not up to date, or you know, better off just being overly covered than underly covered.
It's not a bad idea.
That's what I'll be doing. I'm going to keep, like, my paper ATT, I'm going to keep it until, I don't know when, until, like, it's official, past any growing pains or, you know, I don't want to be that guy that goes, oh, well, I thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes. The one piece of paper I would keep is if you own an Armalite 180B, which is a non-restricted firearm, I would keep the registration certificate for that because law enforcement's going to look at it as an AR. So if you have one of those models, I would still hang on to that registration certificate when you're transporting the gun just to prove that it is non-restricted.
Okay.
So that takes us to emails.
Yep. I'll read Edith. So it says, hey there, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the latest episode of your show and thought I would weigh in on the police service dog discussion. We had quite a heated discussion, didn't we? I personally think 5 years is not enough. Police dogs are not trained to eat you or chew you up. They're trained to stop and contain a criminal that is running or fighting. To say it's right to kill him if he's attacking is the same as if to say a police officer is trying to restrain you and you can go ahead and fight him. I say, don't be a criminal, and you will not have to be in that situation. Now, if I am walking around my neighborhood and a dog attacks me, I will do anything to fight it. Also, I think punishment of any animal cruelty should be a lot harder than it currently is. Keep up the good work, and always enjoy listening to the show. Edith.
Thanks, Edith.
I agree with Edith wholeheartedly.
Yeah,
here.
I second it.
Okay. Of course, I don't. Now, I just want to point out something here. Now, if I walk around in my neighborhood and a dog attacks me, I will do anything to fight it. That's what the criminal is doing. Right or wrong, that's what the criminal is doing. And you're right, Edith. They're not trained to eat people. I was using inflammatory language. So I'll eat my crow on that one. Chew you up, I'm going to disagree. Look at training videos on YouTube. They're trained to grab the arm and start shaking their heads back and forth, which is going to start tearing up the flesh.
But they warn you before they let the dog go. They say, stop, we're going to let the dog go. If you're stupid enough to keep going, you're going to get bit.
I'm just saying, if human being is attacked by an animal, regardless what kind of animal, service dog or whatever, that human being is going to do whatever it takes to stop that attack. That was the point I was trying to make. I wasn't trying to justify it. I wasn't trying to justify it. I'm just saying, an animal's attacking a human being, the human being's going to do everything, including, up to and including, killing the animal. So, my point was, I don't think you should be too surprised if a criminal is going to kill your police dog because your police dog's attacking him. That was...
And then you get 5 years.
Right.
Yep.
Right, so. Anyways.
Just saying. After the episode aired, there was some comments on our Facebook page about it. And I agree with some of the comments about the fact that it's a slippery slope and all that, but I also agree wholeheartedly with what Edith says. We're trying to protect some species, you know, animal cruelty, but also the dog is part of the police force in that as well, and absolutely, don't be a criminal. And when that's just it, stop breaking in, stop, you know, doing whatever you're doing. You won't have anything to worry about. Anyways, let's move on.
I said my piece.
I know. We're never going to agree on this, are we?
No. Nope.
Okay.
No. But you know what? Like, I get it. I do understand. I'm just, you know. Anyways, episode 43, we had some comments to the website. If for the listeners that aren't aware, when we post up the episode, it's basically a blog. So if you have comments and you want to share thoughts, you can go to the website and you can type in your comments right there, and it'll be posted right underneath the blog. And that's what I'm sorry if I butcher your name, Ardrell.
Andrew Michaud.
Yep. So that's what he did.
Andrew Michaud.
And to make up for butchering your name, I'll plug your website here, huntinggearguy.com. And what he says is, on CTC's suggestion, I picked up a black scorpion belt, not as cheap as the Uncle Mike's, but offers inner outer belts and is decently stiff. So that's huntinggearguide.com. Sorry for butchering your name.
Thank you for writing in.
And thanks for writing in.
Yeah.
Next one we got is from John Evers. He submitted this. Sorry, John, we forgot about this one because we didn't have access to those emails. No, George just opened it up for us. This was submitted on the show we did about belts. John said, on one consideration when connecting equipment to your belt, in particular in terms of shotgun or three-gun, is a massive reduction in Velcro's connectivity between the inner and outer belts as a result of the gear, because your gear is smooth plastic. He suggested a simple loosening is to utilize Velcro tape, available at Canadian Tire, etc., applied to the back of the gear. That way your gear, will, in terms of rigidity, your gear will stick close together. The only thing I would add to that is don't go to the dollar store and buy the Velcros there. Go to Canadian Tire and get some good 3M Velcros, because anything you get in the dollar store is going to be crap and fall off. But good suggestion, John. Yep. I'm going to try that.
So the other thing that you can also, if you want some really, really, really good stuff, is go to a fabric place like Fabricland or what have you, because they'll have the really good Velcro.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So events. Take it away, Thomas.
Thomas, you want to talk about the first one?
Well, events instructors are wanted. This is from the Canadian Firearms Institute. They're looking for individuals from across the country who wish to become senior holster certification instructor and senior range officer instructor. Like most organizations, you have to be a member of the CFI in order to take these courses. Please send a brief history of your shooting experience to Piper at CanadianFireInstitute.ca for consideration. They want some prior adult teaching experience, preferred but not a requirement. Positive forward thinking and community-oriented attitude is mandatory. So if you want to take some RO courses, the CFI is also offering them. And there's a black badge course coming up, Kelly.
Oh, hold on, yep. Hold on. You got brackets there, buddy. Don't sell yourself.
Oh, I forgot the brackets.
Don't sell yourself short.
Also, for note, the CFI, it will be putting, New Shooter Canada is having an article appearing in the August CFI newsletter about the Canadian podcasters and the annual charity shoot. But we'll provide you with links and post a copy of their webpage once it comes through. I even wrote the show notes and I forgot it.
And more and more specifically, what member of New Shooter Canada?
I wrote it, and Kelly heavily edited it.
As you can tell from his grammar to did.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, Thomas actually wrote the article, and we're very, very proud of him. They accepted it, and they're going to be publishing it.
Yep. So some of you might have pictures showing up on the newsletter. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. So, Thomas, you can now say that you've been published.
Hey, this is true.
There you go.
I never thought of that.
There you go.
I'll have to speak to my editor before I publish anymore.
Yeah, you got to pay me more. So there's a black badge coming up, and it's going to be at the Rustigouche Gun Club in Campbellton, or it's actually Dalhousie, New Brunswick, on August 22nd and 23rd. Trevor Furlott is running it, and if you're interested, please contact him at slamfireradio@gmail.com. And I believe it's $125 for the weekend, and he's one of the best. It looks like they have about 7 or 8 people signed up right now, so that's awesome.
I think, did he not change the name of this Black Badge course to Kelly was supposed to come and then ditched us course?
Yeah, he threw me under the bus.
A couple times.
Yeah, but that's okay. No, seriously, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. You know what? I did say that if he has a black badge course, I'd like to go and do it. Now the only problem is I got a lot on my plate right now. So.
Fair enough.
Oops.
And then there's that range officer course that you can go to also. So.
On the 22nd and 23rd?
Yeah. That's going to interfere with it.
Yeah. No. later. I have to get my restricted actually sent out to me. And then take the RSO course. So that I can do the charity shoot, which we are planning for next year. Anybody who's interested in coming to the podcasters charity shoot, we'll be posting about those in the events pages and that as well, and on our Facebook.
All right, and the next one, and I think it's the last event for the evening, is Eagle Lake Gun Club is proud to host One Shot Tactical's Ontario IDPA Provincial Championship, August 15th. Course of fire, 8 stages. Round count, approximately 130. Registration and squatting will be done via practice score. If you're in IDPA, I'm assuming you know what that is. The match is limited to 75 shooters plus staff. A few spots available with staff Friday. Main match on Saturday. Match fees before March 31st, which is come and gone.
Long gone.
So the match fees are $75. Thank you, whoever put this in. And match sign in opens at 7:30 a.m. Saturday. Shooters meeting at 8:30. Wow, you guys start early. Match begins at 9 a.m. Shooters may pick up registration materials between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Friday if desired. Trophies. For all divisions and classifications will be awarded after Saturday's match. There will be a drawing for guns and prizes after the competition or the completion of awards. We've got a web link that we will stick into the show notes. What's this bracket stuff? We're not even sure if there's spots available, so you better check first.
Right.
Oh, and apparently I was wrong. There is one more event.
Yeah,
yes.
Looks like, last but not least, there will be a CQB match. Or
clinic.
It's actually a clinic. And then I think on Saturday they're doing a match as well. At CFB Petawawa on the 5th and 6th of September, both Mario and Kevin are going to be attending. You can actually, where can you contact? We had a link in a couple of shows ago about CQB. You can contact Eric, I believe it is.
We didn't put any contact information in.
Yeah, who?
Well, Mario told me about it. That's why.
Thomas? Thomas did the events page. Throwing him on the bus. Yes, you can contact Eric. We'll provide the link for that as well, because we have it in three shows ago. And you can sign up through him. All right. Let's wrap her up.
Okay, I think that's a good idea, because I think we're pushing close to 2 hours now. All right, well, closing comments. I just want to thank everyone for joining us today. You guys are awesome. Your enthusiasm is awesome. You can never say it enough. It just, you get around like-minded people, and it's like, you know, you meet for the first time, but it's like you've been friends all your life. Awesome group of people, and thanks for joining us. Thomas?
Shout out for Kevin Latham for all the works he does for the show and losing all his guns to his girlfriend. Kevin's working on getting us arranged for the charity shoot, so I just want to say thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. And my friend Bruce, it was his birthday today, so Bruce is 56 today. He doesn't listen, so I can throw him under the bus. But we've been friends for 40 years, so 41 years, actually. So happy birthday, Bruce.
That would make you...
Shut up.
Old. That would make him old.
He's a year older than me. We've been friends since, 14, 15. Oh. Long time.
Closing comments for me, or just shout-outs. Just, again, to everybody who was coming on this evening. Great people. They're really, really good people, and I know that I have friends now in shooting from now on, or I'm adding them to my group of friends. Also, just to Kevin for putting up with me and for putting up with me and that, and me driving him crazy. Okay, the other thing is, don't forget, keep sending us your emails and your comments. We had some great ones today. Thank you very much, Edith and John, and who else was it? It was, Edril, for your comments and that as well. Keep sending them in. iTunes, we didn't have any iTunes, I checked. So, just give us a rating, whatever, and
like us on Facebook.
Thanks for subscribing.
Support your local firearm advocacy group. There's a few in the country to choose from now.
Yep. Yeah, there is.
Thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing.
I was waiting for that.
And like us on Facebook.
And like us on Facebook.
382. We're getting up there.
382. It's pretty good.
All right.
All right, guys. So everyone listening, until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Thank you, Kate Shooty.
And keep shooting classy.
Have a good week, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
God made the animals, and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.